God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
I'm seeing this card is still here from last week. Volunteer to wash your neighbor's windows. I did that. I did that this week. And how could I wash my neighbor's windows and not wash my wife's windows? So it benefited her as well. I hope that you picked up a card. I picked up a new one. It says, do one other person's chore or job this week to take something off their plate. So Cindy and I will be talking about that. If you've had a good experience with your card, I'd love to hear from you about that. If you would email me and tell me about that story, your experience. My email address is on the cover of the bulletin. You could send that to me. It may be something that I could share if you would allow me to do that in a sermon. It may be something that I could share in a future newsletter. Maybe we could post some of those around the building and all of you would have a chance to see the love that's being shown and the good that is being done. Now, if by chance you pull a card out that is impossible for you, feel free to pick another card. For instance, if Elijah, our youth minister, were to pull out a card that says, take your spouse out to eat this week, you know, that would be hard for him to do, unless he wants to go out this week and find him a spouse real quick. I don't know, but I noticed... last week, one of the Simmons kids, I think it was Hunter, who was going out the door, and I said, hey, what card did you get? And he said, he showed it to me. It said, read a bedtime story to one of your kids. And I said, oh, go get another one if you want. He says, no, I got plenty of kids in my family. I'll read to one of them. So I hope that went all right. Did it go good? All right, good. And I think Lenora got the same card. Read a bedtime story to one of your kids. And she went out with this big smile on her face. She said, it's been a long time since I've been able to read a bedtime story to Kendall. Kendall's 20 years old, and Kendall's given a thumbs up. He liked it. I asked Lenora this morning if she read a story to him, and she said yes, and she was still all smiles about that. And so I hope that you've had some fun with these cards. I was actually in a person's house this week, new to our church family. They're here again today. They are brand new to Reinhardt. And he was getting ready. He was going to bake some cookies for the local fire department and take those cookies to the fire station. So all kinds of good things happening here at Reinhardt. Remember to pick up another card today. We've got three locations at the exit doors here out of the auditorium. You'll see a basket in the lobby there at the Welcome Center. Did you hear about the young couple who was on their first night of their honeymoon? They were in the room and the husband wasn't quite sure how to tell his bride about his stinky feet and smelly socks. And at the same time, the bride was nervous to tell her husband that sometimes she has really bad breath. Before they went to bed, the husband got up his nerve and he said to his bride, I have a confession to make. And she drew near to him and she peered up into his eyes and she said, I have a confession to make too. He stepped back from the smell of her bad breath. He said, you don't have to tell me. You've eaten my socks, haven't you? You know, marriage can be very interesting, can it? It can be fun. It can be really fun. Sometimes it can be just downright hard work. And we have to choose what words we're going to speak to our spouse. We have to be careful about what we say to them, because words can bring life or death to that person whom we speak to. Our words can build up or they can tear down. Cindy's card this last week was, make sure you don't speak anything negative to your spouse all week long. It's been a quiet week at our house. As we continue this series on the subject of marriage, I want to speak to you about the role of the husband and the role of the wife. I wonder what authority I should turn to help me with the answers to that question. Should I turn to Hollywood to help me answer the question of what is the role of the husband and what is the role of the wife? I don't think so. I really don't think Hollywood would be able to help me out that much, because Hollywood doesn't know up from down about marriage. If I were to listen to Hollywood, then I would become that much more confused about marriage. Maybe I should turn to Nashville to try and get some help from there. Maybe they could help me understand the role of a husband and a wife. Well, maybe that wouldn't be a good choice either. I think Nashville might muddy the waters just like Hollywood. How about this? I'll turn to those co-workers that I have, or my friends on Facebook. I'll let them clear up the confusion for me as to what the role is of a husband and what the role is of a wife. Do you think that will be helpful? I mean, everything I'm told on Facebook is true, isn't it? Be careful, my brothers and sisters, where your advice is coming from. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And so, be careful where you turn for advice about marriage. What is the role of the husband? What is the role of the wife? Let me read to you from Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." This book right here is the authority that we should turn to as we're trying to figure out the role of the husband and the wife. This book is the truth. Do you believe that? A few of you do. Let me ask you again. Let me give you another chance. Do you believe that this book is the truth? Yes. Thank you. I knew you believed that. And so, if there's ever a time that the world's voice is different than what God's voice is saying, guess whose voice is wrong? The world's voice is wrong every time when there's that kind of controversy between what they're saying and what God's Word is saying. God's voice is always the truth. And if we will dig into the truth and we try to live according to the truth, then we will have the best chance for a marriage that is happy and fulfilling. So here's the question. First question. What is the role of the husband? And I'll give it to you right up front, and then I will break it down for you. According to Ephesians chapter 5, the husband is to lead his wife, and he is to love his wife. Let those words sink in. He is to lead his wife, and he is to love his wife. First of all, the husband is to lead his wife. Let me read to you from chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Now, this is one of those verses that the world would like to cut out of the Bible. The husband is the head of the wife, Paul said. It's talking about rank and authority. As Christ is the head of the church in rank and authority, so also the husband is the head of the wife in rank and authority. Let me put it more simply as this. He is to be the leader in the home. Now, please stay with me through this whole sermon. I do not intend for this sermon to be a divisive sermon. Rather, I intend for it to be a helpful sermon. And I am relatively new here. And it's evidence that to you that I am not going to just back away from preaching the hard topics. When we're addressing the subject of marriage, this is a topic that has to be addressed. The role of the husband and the role of the wife. And I will preach this topic to you, though it is a hard topic to preach. You may not always like the truth, but the truth is what needs to be preached, and it is what I will attempt to preach always. The husband has been given a higher rank of authority in the home by God. Does that mean that he sticks his chest out and it's always his way or the highway and he sits on the throne and everybody in the home just bows down to him? Is that what it means? No, absolutely not. I will have to tell you, my wife has never bowed down to me once. She has been pretty smart aleck towards me, though. Somebody has to lead. And if there's no leader in the home, then that's a problem too. The husband has been given the responsibility of leading. Now let me remind you, a good leader always seeks advice from his joint chiefs of staff. A husband who is a smart leader and a good leader is going to have ears open and mind open to what his wife is thinking and saying. In other words, he's going to listen to her. He's going to have ears open to her. He's going to hear what she has to say, and what she says to him is going to be very, very important. And he's going to recognize her strengths and capabilities, and he's going to appreciate what she can do, and he's going to utilize her for the good of the family. I have to tell you how this has played out in our home. For years and years, I took care of the money in the home. I paid the bills, and I took the check. And I figured it out as to where all that was going to go. This needs to go, obviously, to pay the bills. And this amount of money needs to go into the checking. And maybe there was some amount of money for that particular pay period that could be put into the savings account. All of that was coming from me. And it was month to month. If we had some extra, that was a good thing, and I might could put some into the savings. But I didn't do much planning ahead, honestly. Now, I knew when these big bills were coming in, but there wasn't a lot of planning ahead. Maybe, you know, as the tax bill in Kansas, the property tax bill comes due in the middle of May and the middle of December. And, you know, April, I might be thinking about that bill that's coming due next month, or in November, I'm thinking about that. And then you have, you know, the 6 months of insurance premiums that come due, and once a year house insurance premium that comes due, and you have Christmas. And I just wasn't doing a whole lot of planning. And so those big bills would come along, and I'd start scrambling. I'd start squirming, and where's the money going to come from? And I'd rob Peter to pay Paul, and what I had put into the savings account, I'd have to take all of that out and try and cover these bills that come in. And then we went to a Dave Ramsey seminar. Any of you ever been to a Dave Ramsey seminar? I highly recommend Dave Ramsey seminars to you. And he talked about this thing called what? Budgeting. Cindy's a math person. She loves numbers, and she's organized, and she's a detailed person. And the idea of budgeting just, it didn't scare her a bit. It did not blow her mind like it did mine. She came to me after we'd gone through this teaching, and she said, why don't you let me just handle the money? I'll work up a budget. Okay. And I gave her the money. And I knew she'd come crawling back to me in a few weeks. I just knew it. And so, first time a property tax payment came due, $1,200. I'm saying to her, We've got to pay the property tax bill coming up. Okay? And so it comes time. I give her a little bit of forewarning about that. And so it comes time to write the check. And I say, do you have the money? Do you have the $1,200 for the property tax? And she leaves. She's gone for a few moments, and she comes back. She has this envelope in her hand, and she pulls out 12 $100 bills, and she gives them to me. I said, where'd you get that? She said, I budgeted for it. And, you know, the six-month insurance premium come due for the cars, and she hands me the cash for it, and to go into the checking account. And Christmas comes along, she's got money for buying gifts because she's budgeted for it. And that Christmas, I the kids were all home, and I gathered them around, and I said, you kids, you need to budget your money. We have been budgeting. And it's working for us. We're a team, aren't we? And she said, she's got a line to that. She says, I do the work, you take all the credit. You know, a good leader utilizes the skills of his team. I'm the head of the home, she's the neck that turns the head. That's how that works. Being a leader does not mean that one is pushy or authoritative or a demanding kind of person. That is not what Paul was getting at all. Rather, a good leader will lead from a spirit of Christ-likeness. Let me read to you from the book of Ephesians as Paul deals with this very subject. In fact, what I'm reading to you from is a commentary on the book of Ephesians, that verse that we read earlier. This is what Kenny Bowles had to say about that verse. Just as Christ was given headship in chapter 1, verse 22, the husband is given headship in the family. Be careful to notice, however, what kind of headship this was. For Jesus Christ, headship meant that He gave up heavenly glory and comfort for the sake of the church. He became servant of all, humbling Himself even to the point of death. His headship was clothed in love. Likewise, the husband is appointed head for the benefit of the family, not for his own indulgence. Being leader carries great responsibility and accountability, and it should always be for the benefit of the wife and family. As a leader, the husband should lead in serving. As a leader, the husband should lead in loving. This is why I challenged the men last week to step up. I'm asking the men to step up and be a leader in Christ's likeness. We need some men who will lead in their example of Christ's likeness. We need some men who will be a leader in the home of patience and self-control. We need some men who will be a leader in the home of controlling their tongue and controlling their temper. We need some men who will be a leader in their home of reading their Bible and praying. We need some men who will be a leader in their home of personal holiness and purity. You know, there are way too many men who are addicted to pornography. We need some men who will be addicted to God's Word and personal holiness. Be a leader by helping with the discipline of the kids and showing the kids what it means to love their mother and to respect their mother. And when that isn't happening with the kids, when they're not loving their mom or respecting their mom, then dads, you're stepping in and you are helping with that, and you are curbing that, and you are addressing that issue. And in doing so, you are protecting your wife. You are leading in the home. We need some men who will lead their family towards Jesus. And I will dare say this, if you do that, your wife will be thrilled with you. I really doubt that we have a woman here today who wouldn't be ecstatic about following a husband like that. We need husbands who will lead. And secondly, the husband is to love his wife. Let me read to you Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. I'm thinking of some words that might describe Christ's love for the church. Perfect love. Sacrificial love. Unconditional love. Enduring love. Great love. I mean, the words could go on and on. The adjectives placed alongside of the word love that describe Jesus' love for the church. If we had some husbands who would love their wives like that, what if, husband, what if you loved your wife to that degree? That what if you served her and gave yourself up for her and you loved her unconditionally? What if you listened to her? I'll tell you what. If you loved your wife like that, if we men loved our wife like that, she would be willing to follow us to the moon and back. She would gladly submit to us in that way. Who wouldn't want to give someone else the lead that was always doing what was best for her? We need some husbands who will love like Jesus loved. Oh, by the way, Don't neglect to see the verse that precedes all this talk on husband and wife relationships in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21 of Ephesians 5 says, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." So you have the wife submitting to her husband. You have the husband looking for opportunities to submit to her, to yield to her, to give preference to her. Can you imagine a relationship where both the husband and the wife are living out Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Can you imagine a relationship where that kind of selflessness is taking place? Sounds like a pretty fun home to be in. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about the husband living with his wife in an understanding way. If you read from the New International Version, it says it this way, "Be considerate towards her." That's just another way of showing love to her. You are considering her opinion. You are considering what's best for her. You are trying to understand her and then act accordingly. And so you have the husband leading his wife and loving his wife. That's the role of the husband according to Scripture. What about the wife? What is the role of the wife? I've pretty much answered that already. First, the wife is to submit to her husband. Let me read to you from chapter 5 of Ephesians. Verses 22 and 24. And what I would encourage you to do, it would be great for you to read this whole chapter and get the context. Make sure I'm not taking anything out of the context. I don't think I am. But that would be a good thing for you to do. Let's read verse 22. "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord." Verse 24. "But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." The phrase "be subject" was a military term meaning to be arranged under the authority of someone. I thought it was interesting last week. I had EK from India with me. He was with Cindy and I for the weekend. And he was here for Sunday services, the beginning of this sermon series on marriage. And before he left, he happened to ask the question of me, "What's your topic for next week?" Speaking of today. And I said, "Well, next week I'm talking about the role of the husband and the role of the wife." And just matter-of-factly, he looks at his wife, Joyce, and he says, "She obeys me." And I looked at my wife, Cindy, and I said, "Hey, we're going to move to India." And she says, "Go ahead. I'm staying here." It's not, I think maybe that is a cultural thing, how EK put that. She obeys me. It's I don't want to come across in that sense at all. It's not like, you know, one more kid in the home where the wife has to obey what the husband says. That is not what Paul is getting at all. I don't think so. But the wife chooses to let him lead. The wife chooses to be subject to him, to submit to his leadership, and she's not forced by him into this position. It's not like he's pushing her and shoving her into this position. It's not like he's needing to preach her a sermon about submission every chance he gets. I don't think that would go over too well. The husband's job is to take care of his business of loving his wife, and the wife's responsibility then, between her and God, is to take care of her business, to submit to her husband. Now, submission has been turned into a very dirty word. It's not dirty from God's viewpoint. It was never meant to be demeaning to you ladies. It's not to say in any way, shape, or form that you are less than your husband. You're not below your husband in importance at all. We are all created in God's image. We are wonderfully made. We are wonderfully loved. But as Kenny Bowles says in his commentary, somebody has to lead. And that's for the good of the family. It's for the good of the marriage. And apparently, don't you think God had good reason for this? This is his plan. I don't think you can argue with that. Now, we may not always like it. This question, do you always feel like doing things God's way? No. But when we do things God's way, it puts us in a position to be blessed by him. The world may scorn you, but ladies, God will bless you. And again, this doesn't mean that you can't lead in the home in lots of ways. If the husband has open eyes, he will be thrilled for you to use your gifts to the good of the family and to the glory of God. Even this morning, I was thinking about ways through the years. Cindy and I have been married for 34 years. I was thinking about ways that my wife has led in the home. My, what would I have done without her for 34 years of marriage? In raising the kids. I mean, she was a real leader, stepping up, raising those kids. Now, I was there too, but not always, because there were a lot of times that I was out doing ministry. Sometimes I wonder if it was a little much. And she was at home taking care of those kids and loving those kids and disciplining those kids and leading those kids and helping those kids with their homework and running them here and there. She has been a real leader in our home with parenting. And it's been a joint job for sure, but I could never have done that and had the three kids that we have without her. You know, another way that I have thought about as she has been a leader in the home, she has been an architect and a designer. I told you earlier, she's a detail kind of person. We've built onto our house twice, and both times she's designed it, and she's been the architect of it, and she's almost been like the general contractor, where we've had people come in and do the labor, and she's gone out and got all of the supplies and found the best deal. And I mean, she's been a leader in that way. And I've appreciated her. She's been a leader in hospitality. She's been a leader in vacation planning. I've been the driver is about all I've done. And she's planned the whole vacation and given our family a good, good, good time. Lots of ways. And so what I'm saying is, wives, as the Bible talks about submission to your husband, it in no way, shape, or form puts your husband here and you're here by way of importance. This is a team effort. This is a joint partnership. But somebody has to lead. And God has given the husband the leadership role, and he's given the wife the role of submitting. And we're trusting the husband's going to do her right. He's going to treat her right. He's going to love her as Christ loved the church. What if the husband wants to lead you down a path that is a wrong path? I mean, what if he just makes bad decisions? In those instances, wives, you seek the Lord for what He wants you to do. Certainly, you have the opportunity and the right to speak your mind very clearly and strongly and stand up. Sometimes, if the Lord leads you in this way, sometimes the husband just needs to learn a lesson the hard way if he doesn't listen to you. If he's trying to lead you down a road that would take you away from God, then that's where you draw the line. Peter said to the Sanhedrin, "I must obey God rather than man." If you have a husband who's loving you the way Christ loved the church, it won't be that hard for you to give him the lead, because in turn, he's going to be doing good for you. He's going to be protecting you. He'll be out front taking the shots. She is to submit to her husband, and secondly, according to Scripture, she is to respect her husband. Let me read to you verse 33. "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." And it won't be hard for you to respect him if he's protecting you and loving you and giving of himself to you, being the godly man that I've described for you today. Wives, tell your husbands that you respect him. That will mean the world to him. Brag on him in a good way to your friends. Speak well of him. If you have a husband that you can brag on, be thankful. Know that that is a blessing from God. And maybe there would be a wife somewhere that would say, "What if I can't respect my husband?" I guess I would say to that wife, is there anything that you can respect him for? Is there something that he does that is positive? If you can find that, if you can put your finger on that one thing, then respect him for that and let him know that. If there's not anything that you can find that you can respect him for, I would say this to you. Then pray, pray, pray and give him to God, and probably you ought to seek some godly counsel to gain support and guidance. So the husband is to love his wife, he's to lead his wife, and according to Scripture, the wife is to submit to her husband and she is to respect him. Now, I realize pretty heavy topic today. So what my encouragement to you would be simply this. Read the Scripture, meditate on it, pray. Pray for God to bless your marriage. And pray for your spouse. Pray for yourself. Last week I said, as we sing an invitation hymn, I would just invite couples to come to the front, just kneeling at the altar here and just praying for God's blessing upon your marriage. Be a great thing for you to do. Could I speak to the young people here today for just a moment? Wow.
is it so important for you to choose the right person to marry? Someone who is a believer in this book right here. Someone who is seeking to honor God with their life. Someone who is, girls, loving you and honoring you and sacrificing for you before the marriage. Don't, I mean, if they're not doing that before the marriage, run the other direction, girls. For who's to say that they would change and do that after the marriage if they're not doing it before the marriage? And young men, seek to be God's man. And let Him grow you up to be like Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to be yours. Help our marriages represented in this church to have your blessing. I pray for every husband. I pray for every wife. Lord, help us to be what you have called us to be. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your grace. Lord, we need your grace in our marriage relationship. As you extend grace to us, help us to extend grace to each other. And we pray this in Jesus' name.